Keep the frequency clear.
But guess what? You don't get to tell me when I can stop speaking. Well,
tune in to Queering the Air.
Report on trans and intersex issues with accuracy, dignity, and respect.
Yes, ma'am.
Change the narrative rather than combat the narrative.
Yes, queen.
I know who I am. Took me 20 years to get here. I'm not going to let some idiot senator destroy that.
3CR Community Radio.
Our stories are best told when we are the ones telling them. It helps combat the perpetuation of stereotypes, misinformation, and lies.
The TGDNB culture is valid, critical, vital, and vibrant.
I discovered in the face of overwhelming prejudice and persecution an incredible strength through being fiercely fabulous.
Welcome to Queering the Air, Sundays from 3 to 4 on 3CR. 3CR is proud to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which we transmit people-powered radio. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Yes, welcome one, welcome all. Tis I, Madison Moffat. I am somebody whose pronouns are she and her. And I am a trans woman, and I'm distracted by toing and froing on an email with my guest, which, you know, I desperately want on the show. So I am allowing myself that distraction. Ah, there they are. Hooray, they have arrived. They have arrived. Anywho, and you're with Queering the Air, which is on 3CR, 855 AM on the radio dial, also on the digital audio band, and online through 3cr.org.au/streaming. So, now, the first thing that I'm going to play is actually exceptionally serious. You wouldn't know it with the silliness that, the typical seriousness, let's put it that way, that I convey on the radio. But I have actually had the pleasure of interviewing a person who at the moment is in Kazakhstan as a result of having fled Russia because they could no longer withstand the what they keep referring to, quite rightly it would seem, as ongoing pressure of being queer and living in Russia. So they're currently in Kazakhstan, and they'll be describing what it's like, what it was like for them to be queer and a resident of Russia, or indeed a citizen. Also, there will be a little bit, in fact, about what it's now like to be a queer Russian emigre in Kazakhstan, which in some ways seems to be better, in other ways not so much. And it's very sweet, Vadim is also quite concerned about those who remain in Russia who are queer. So has a few things to say about both the plight that they still face and also what it is that perhaps this small thing that, on the other hand, will mean so much that we can do to help. So there will be, I will be playing that interview forthwith. But, and then I'll, while that interview is playing, I'll get my guest all set up. I'll get my paddle out and spank them for being late. I understand that they might enjoy that. But so I might not, I might actually threaten to and then fail to, because that's then the masochist element, you see, the fact that I don't do it. Anyway, without further ado, I really am not emphasizing here the seriousness of the interview, am I? But on the other hand, Vadim himself was, of good spirit. You know, he had the typical, he sounded stern because he was Russian, but he's Russian, right? So Russians, what can you say about the sternness, the stern sounding of their language? But he's a really lovely guy and was actually, while on one hand, you know, had such an important and very serious message to say, he himself, on occasions that, you know, for editing reasons I cut out, was himself very personable about it. And I dare say that's one of the reasons why he is a survivor. Without further ado, Vadim.
You're with 3CR, with Madison Moffat, and I'm with Vadim, pronouns he and him. Now, Vadim has a very special and very important story to share. Many important reflections on a serious topic, what it is like to be an emigre as a result of having to leave your country of origin due to oppressive behavior towards LGBTIQA plus people in their country of origin. So welcome, Vadim.
Hi, nice to meet you. I'm glad you have me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Vadim, based on your own experience and those you know, how would you describe what it's like to be queer and to reside in Russia?
You know, I want to tell you the honest story.
Yes.
How I feel it inside my country. Being queer in Russia, it's mean living a double life. With your the most closest friends, you can be yourself, obviously. But in public, you learn to hide.
Yes.
It's your automatic skill. So with your friends, you can be yourself. But when you're outside, you're not allowed to show nothing. You're not allowed to touch your partner. You're not allowed to express your love. You're not allowed to kiss your partner.
Yes.
Also, the most important thing is it depends a lot on where you live. For example, in Moscow or in St. Petersburg, it's a little easier because that city have some bar, private gathering. But for example, in my city, we don't have it. It's also like a capital, but it's still a small city. So for now, unfortunately, I can tell where I'm from because of the security reason. Yeah, I'm still in CIS.
Yes. So that's the Commonwealth of Independent States.
Yeah.
Which is, for listeners, essentially what the USSR turned into when it was dissolved. What was left in terms of countries that had an agreement that they would cooperate, continue to cooperate economically and in terms of foreign affairs, became the CIS. So Vadim, you're still in that area.
Yeah, I'm still in that area. And where I am now, the situation is the same, absolutely the same. You just can't be yourself.
Yes.
For now, I can only be myself through my music, to be honest. So I publish music. I'm actually publish my story. I have a list of songs. It's like the whole my story about myself.
Vadim, is there actually risk in you doing that as a Russian citizen?
It's absolutely risk. For example, if someone from the government in some way know about I'm doing music.
Yes.
Where I express my feelings, my thoughts about it. I'm expressing also my thoughts about Russia, about my mother country. Yeah.
Yeah.
100% I can be jailed. It's guaranteed. But I still keep doing it because for me personally, it's important. And I feel like I do nothing wrong. I just doing my music. I just publish it. For now, I have some amount of listeners and people like it. But it's not about my country. My country doesn't like it.
Oh, when you say the country, you mean the state.
Yeah.
I'm quite sure many people in Russia would love it if they were able to listen to it. But the state would seem to be a very different thing again.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
So was there something that you can share about the specific circumstances that led you to feel you had to leave Russia?
My main reason why I'm leave from Russia, because I have a lot of fear for myself. I have big worries about my safety because my current situation, if I come back, I will be jailed 100%. It's my music. It's right. The first reason. The second reason is in Russia we have, when you should serve in military.
Conscription.
So we have a list of people who should go to the war.
Yes, I see.
Yeah, and I'm in the list.
So you're a draftee, as they would call it.
I try to describe how it works. So you're in the list physically. No one can make you do that. Yeah, but the government offering you a contract, sign a contract. They push you to sign it.
Mm.
I have been pushed 12 times.
Right.
People just said, can you sign it for us? Because, like, it's not for now, it's just for the future. if you decide to serve, and I just refused. But I know I'm in the list. And when my government decided to send more people to the war, for me specifically, it can be dangerous. And for people who in the list.
Yes. So yeah. Is it particularly dangerous for you because you are LGBTQIA+, or is it just you're experiencing the same level of danger as many others?
This situation with the army, it's like additional thing. Yeah.
I see.
So I can't be myself in my country.
Yeah, yeah. And you,
that's the main reason.
And you, it would seem to me you also certainly could not be yourself in the military.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think it would be the last straw for me in my country, where I have so many more freedoms. I think it would still be the last straw with the things that I do complain about if on top of that I was drafted. That would be it. I would be out of the country. I sympathize, Vadim. I sympathize greatly. So you've described what it's like to be queer and live in Russia. Has that changed in recent times, be it worse or better?
It's become much worse.
Right.
I prefer to answer, use one of the examples, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
So in Russia, I had a great job. I was head of sales. Some people know who I am. Yeah, my friends at my work. You can speak with people and you have no problem with it.
Yes.
No problem with government, no problem with police. But now the society, it's like they are fear to be part of it because they associate it with the thing they can be jailed to.
Right. So if they continue to hire someone who is gay and they know that, they themselves can be jailed.
Yeah. And it's a lot of pressure on my work.
Yes.
For who I am. And I think you can only imagine it. So you came to your work and people just staring at you, showing at you, no matter who you are. So, for example, I'm a manager of the company, but people still do an appropriate thing.
Right.
For example, I have my chair and they put Wawa inside the chair. So I sit on the chair and I was wet. It's like a constant pressure from the government, from the people. But it's not, you know, it's like, it's not people's fault. People just fear. They don't know how to react to it. If some person have a family and he not sign the contract, his family can be in danger. Not directly. They can be in danger in a very, very indirectly. A problem with the social services. If you are an LGBT person, you can be jailed. If you say something about LGBT people, you can be jailed. If you promote yourself, your music or something, no matter what you do. And even if you use hashtag in Instagram, for example,
yes,
LGBT music or something like that, if someone see it and report on you, you can be jailed.
Yes.
Not from first time, probably. But if it's keep happening, for example, the second time, the third time, 100% you will be jailed.
Yes.
Many people want to live somewhere outside.
Yes.
Like I do now. I'm still not in the final destination, but I still did it. I just left all what I have, my apartments, my job, my friends. I just left all of it. And now I'm here and I'm trying to start from scratch.
Yes. Yes.
It was unexpected, to be honest, for me. I never thought I should leave my country. I was ready to live my life in Russia, but now it's just impossible. I'm not a criminal person at all.
No.
I did nothing wrong. I only just did what my government doesn't like. That's all.
Yeah.
I don't want to kill Slavic people, you know?
Mm.
For majority of Russian, they are our brothers. So, you know, I just grab 1.2k bucks. That's all what I can grab. And I just leave. But here, it's still difficult. Because even here, many people doesn't like Russian.
Right.
Because of the war.
Now you got an additional problem.
Yeah.
you're in a country that doesn't like your nationality.
And it's true. I have many visits from police. So they just knock into my door. Mm. The policemen say to me, like, can you show me your passport? Yes, no problem. There is my passport. There is my paper, like temporary residence. They look at my passport and says, oh, you're Russian. What are you doing here? And he says, on my block, I don't need Russians like you. You should leave from here because Russian not allowed to be here. It's not your country. And I just said, no, what's the problem? I'm legal here. So he visited me many times. Yeah, living under pressure every day, it's very difficult, very, very exhausting. Why that policeman visit me? It should not be happened.
No.
One of the my neighbor called the police and says, here is live a Russian guy. Can you check them? I met my neighbor. I asked her, that's you did? And she said, yes, because I don't need Russian here. Russian is a big problem. I just want to talk about people who stay in Russia, try to explain what they are experiencing. It's a constant fear. And that fear, it's not because you have a specific reason. It's just like a white noise. Maybe people don't have a specific threat, but it's kind of fog, like a cloud with rain on the top of your head. You know?
Yes, yes.
It's always bothering you. You can't be legal here. It's not like a place for you. And people who live in Russia, especially, they constantly live in fear. They also claim their social media. No LGBT issues. No rainbow symbols. They should hide it. No any picture. Even in a dress, you're not allowed to do a makeup, because if a man do some makeup and publish it, you can be in trouble.
Yes.
You can get serious trouble. And unfortunately, that people have a double life, have two personality inside yourself. I know it sounds weird, but it's exactly what it is. So on the public, you're one person. You're not a gay people. You're not a LGBT person. You're just a person. And you should watch on yourself what you're doing.
Yes.
Every movement to not be detected, if it makes sense.
Yes, you're monitoring yourself to make sure that you are not going to be detected as LGBTQ. Yeah.
Correct. That's the one part of the life for people who in Russia. But the good news that people have another part when they are can be themselves.
Yes.
But it's still not enough because you can't relax. You're still thinking, people are still thinking about what if someone know about it.
So in those environments, you don't necessarily feel alone, but you still feel the pressure.
You still feel the pressure, even you with people who you can trust, because you worry about not only yourself, you also worried about people who nearby you all the time. Because what if I make a trouble for them? What happened then?
Yes.
What if someone see us? It's very difficult and you have no place to relax, to be honest. It can be only your home. You can relax only when you're alone. But it's called loneliness. It's not something good. The queer life now in the Russia, it's underground totally.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Maybe 15 years ago, it will be much easier because not so many attention, because Russia had a lot of problem, a lot of social problem, and Russia was more free country. Now, the queer people should be underground and they just can't relax. Also, people in Russia use encrypted messengers. WhatsApp, it's unsafe. Because Russian government know how to get messages from WhatsApp. They also can get messages from Telegram. So usually people use the Signal app.
How do they know that the Signal app is safe?
They don't know that. They just thinking about it's safe.
I suppose this is part of the pressure. Even when something seems safe, you can never be entirely sure.
You can never be entirely sure because you actually don't know which way of sending messages can be safe. I know a lot of people who been jailed. Some people I can help, some people I can't help because I don't have a lot of resources. Try to hire a lawyer to get that people back from the jail. Sometimes it was successful, sometimes it's not. Sometimes people just sitting in a jail like about 15 days and they was released after.
Yes.
Yeah, because they apologize for nothing. You know, the main thing what I want to say, I just want to ask everyone who can hear my voice. If you know some person in Russia, please just help if you're outside. I'm not talking about money.
No.
I'm just talking about support.
It does sound like a situation, Vadim, that money doesn't help very much. It's
money can help if you're outside the Russia.
Yeah.
If you're inside the Russia at all. Yeah. Even if you have grants, doesn't help you.
No.
It can delay something.
Right. So what type of support can people outside of Russia provide to these people?
Based on my experience, I can say a kind word, it will be, sometimes it will be more than enough.
Right.
Just chat with people because, as I explained before, loneliness is the only one place where you can be in safe.
Yes.
And people have not enough communication. People have not enough social connection. Just chat with that people. Just tell to him, like, you're okay, nothing wrong with you.
Yeah.
A conversation will be really help.
Yes. So they're not so alone.
Yeah. People not feel alone. People feel himself attached to a big group of people.
And I think that I think I also understand that one reason why that is important, the government policies are designed to make you feel alone. The policies are there to make you feel alone and helpless. Would you say that's the case?
Exactly. That's the case. Right.
And so to have contact, to have support simply through contact breaks that lie.
So what you actually says is true. People who now outside, no matter where they are, they just can remind LGBT people in Russia, they are normal. They are okay.
Yes.
It's nothing wrong with you. Then more that people remind about it to Russian people, then more they can feel much better.
Yes.
It's possible through the Telegram chat. Signal, yes, people use Signal, but also most people use Telegram and they don't care about security. They think Telegram is secure.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And that community can support them.
Right.
For example, I know one of the community and it's called Canadian Fury.
Right.
So it's people from Canada who chatting with each other about things, like discussing something. They become a part of the some society. They're not alone anymore, you know. And I had a lot of stories when someone was like me, alone, completely alone. And they just find the group of people. And they were so happy about that, you know.
Mm.
Because it's like a little light in the darkness.
Mm.
To speak with people who actually understand you.
Yes. Vadim.
Yeah.
Thank you for being so brave as to approach me about this and give me the opportunity to learn more about what's happening in your part of the world for queer people and sharing something that we can actually do about it. Because I think so many of us look in from outside and don't know what to do. It's just awful. You know?
Yeah.
We do see documentaries. We do see current affairs programs in Australia showing us some of what is happening. And normally it leaves me feeling helpless. But today you've provided us with an idea, a way in which we can actually reach out and how important that is.
Yeah. Thank you for the interview. It was a great experience. And thank you so much to... You basically give me an opportunity to be heard.
Yes. Well, I think...
Thank you so much.
I think your voice needs to be heard, Vadim, and I'm glad that I provided that opportunity.
Yeah.
Good luck. Stay safe.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So there you go. What do you say? What do you do? Well, fortunately, Vadim's actually given us an indication of what we can do. And I was just taken aback by the simplicity of it, because the whole situation that people in Russia face when they're queer, it is entrapment, and it is jeopardy in every single way, in every single corner, behind every single shadow. So that actually also limits what we can do. And, you know, it's such to such an extent that even if we were somehow able to transfer money to queer people in Russia, that would just entrap them. There's no way for them to safely receive it, and it wouldn't help them anyway. It's just, you know, the issue is by no means anything that can be resolved in that way. So, you know, the typical lines of charity and the like just don't work. They just do not affect. Anyway, so if you are on these platforms, I'm pretty much not. Listeners will know that, you know, I'm not a Luddite, but I come close. But if you are on these, you know, channels like these platforms like Signal and the like, you know, see if you can actually reach out to people who are queer and in places, not just Russia, but places that, say, for instance, within the so-called Commonwealth of Independent States, places like the Ukraine, and so many other places where queer people are oppressed but may still nonetheless have access to these platforms. Try to be a friend. I was, again, taken aback by the simplicity and just the pathos of that idea. Well, anyway, I now have a guest in the studio, and their name is...
Sonny Youngsmith.
Sonny Youngsmith. How dare you impersonate me?
We just wanted to stay on the same vibe, save wavelength,
yeah,
so that
yeah.
people don't get too much of a shock.
No, your role is supposed to be, you know, be overwhelmed by my silliness.
No, it's good. It's good to be challenged.
I'm challenged, that's for sure. But that's another story. So, what are you doing here?
Hello, Medicine. Well, today I'm here. You've decided to let me in these doors.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Well, yeah, we'll see whether it was a good idea.
Yeah, you can regret. Regrets are good to have, because then you learn and you know for future. Yes, but hopefully you don't regret.
I doubt I'd learn, but anyway.
I'm here because I've got a show in the Comedy Festival.
Oh, yeah.
Surprise, surprise. It starts tomorrow.
You're not allowed to plug it yet.
I know, but that's true.
We haven't done the intro yet.
I've jumped the gun, haven't I?
You've jumped the gun.
Oh, my God. I'm not used to this.
I'll help you with a question.
Thank you. I'd love that.
What are you doing here? No, I've already asked that.
That's how I made the mistake in the first place.
That's right. Wasn't very helpful, was it? Wasn't very helpful at all. So you do drag.
I do drag. I am a drag king.
A drag king.
Slash thing. Drag king thing.
Yes. So I was speaking yes. with Maria.
Yes.
Last week.
Silvio De Bacci, I think it
is. DiBaccio?
DiBaccio. Sorry, I missed the O.
No. I could be completely wrong. My brain adds things.
This is fair enough. It's yes. fair enough.
But yes, kings and things,
kings
as
and
I said.
Things. Yes. Kings and things. And it's a good time. It's a... way more, for me personally, it's way more of a silly, creative, clowning way of doing drag.
Yes.
As opposed to dance routines, which are incredible in themselves.
Yeah.
But me personally, my brain can't commit that much choreography at once.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I like the nightlife. I like to boogie.
Yeah, we all... I like to boogie.
Yeah. But there are other ways.
We like to boogie.
Yes.
And yeah. I like to boogie, like to do some clowning, like to do some silly, and like to do some silly audience interactions.
Oh, dear.
Which is all voluntary and all safe.
Well, I'm coming to your show, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
So I'm going to be one of the cool kids and sit at the back.
Absolutely.
If you're going to be doing that stuff.
You sit in the cool kid section, and don't you worry, if you don't want to participate, there'll be a clear sign. You'll wear an eye mask on your forehead and I'll know not to even look at you.
Oh, good, good, yes. Good. But yeah. I'll also, hopefully, though, you can still see me because I want to throw you off. I'll be sitting there staring right at you.
You should bring...
Slowly shaking my head as in...
You should bring a torch.
Is this?
Shine it on your face constantly.
Oh, yeah.
And so then I can always see how you're reacting to my...
It looks spooky. Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm just thinking of all the ways I'm going to heckle the show.
Oh, great. Yeah. Can't wait. If you could send me a list of them in preparation so that I can come up with some good comebacks, that would be awesome.
Well, you know, no, it's your job to come up with them straight away, is that not?
Damn.
And how do you go with that? How do you actually go with that? In all jokes aside...
All jokes aside, I think I've got a long processing time.
Yeah.
The old autism makes it. The processing time is quite long. So sometimes it takes me a while. But I think that's also, you know, part of it. Let the audience say what they want to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I'll be like, okay, cool. Yeah.
And give them a pause so that they think they've got you.
And give them the recognition of you were brave enough to say something.
Yes.
Well done.
Yeah, this is not exactly a character, is it? That you would, unless with a bit of bravery, you'd decide to interject.
Yes, yeah. But, I look forward. I've always thought it would be amazing to have some incredible audience unexpected moments where somebody gets up and decides to do something. But I'm like, oh, but it's probably... I then don't know how I'd go about responding to that, but that's also why I want to do more audience interaction to challenge myself.
Ah, so
to challenge my social cues.
So this is actually part of your expansion.
Yes.
Professional expansion.
Professional expansion.
That's fun.
Yes.
That's fun, yeah.
Yes, look forward to learning. I love to learn. Love to learn.
You love to learn?
Love to learn, even maybe afterwards once I've learnt it, because then I'm not so stressed about having to learn something.
Yes, remember, life is not a journey, it's a lesson.
It is a lesson, and I will learn, and one day I'll remember.
And once you've learnt, you're dead.
And then isn't that a beautiful thing? I would have learnt all the things all that I could have learnt.
All the things.
Full brain. That's the thing. I'd like to die with a full brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's my life goal, full brain.
Full brain.
Yeah.
Well, talking about, you know, this really, really odd little theory that some people have, including famously Donald Trump, that the human body is like this battery cell with finite energy. So you've got to be lethargic and slow, otherwise you'll die early.
You've got to spend that battery.
Yeah, but you are taking it the other way.
Yes, I am.
Yes,
you're famously quite the opposite to that man's beliefs a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Opposite to that belief, I'm going to expand my battery. I'm going from a AAA to a AA.
Mm.
I'm going to expand the battery, get some more things in that brain so it can be full.
So it can be full.
Yeah.
Now, the show is called...
Cabin Pressure.
Yes, not Cabin Fever.
No, which is surprisingly, I've accidentally written that in a lot of email drafts and then I've gone over to proofread it and I'm like, oh, that's not good. Yeah. I came up with that. I should know better.
But it seems that Cabin Fever could have been an alternate.
Absolutely.
It is rather feverish.
It is feverish and it is definitely on a Google Doc somewhere in my draft titles. But
yes.
Pressure, I decided to go with because it's, you know what, I feel it. Feel the pressure.
There's too much pressure.
Too much pressure.
Dun, dun, dun. And what kind of pressure?
Let me think.
It's been experienced. Is your character giving the pressure, feeling the pressure, or both?
I think it's both.
Yeah.
I think I feel the pressure.
The cycle of
pressure
continues.
To do everyone proud.
Yeah.
To do the main character in the show is a flight attendant. So
yes. There's
a lot of pressure for customer service to be at 100%.
Oh, yes.
110%.
I was about to say,
100%
is not enough.
If you're early, you're on time. If you're on time, you're late.
Yes.
And that is... What this flight attendant feels.
Your level of service or grade of service must actually exceed mathematical possibilities.
Absolutely. And yes. Yet people will still not be happy.
No, I won't. No.
No.
I'll be sitting in the back just going, you suck! But that's another story again.
I love to feel loved.
Yes. You suck!
Yes.
And I love you for it. So, What's the name of the character? Is it Sunny?
No. So
it's not autobiographical.
It's not autobiographical. Never been a flight attendant.
Never?
No.
Probably
and
good
I don't
thing.
Think I ever want to. It sounds horrifying.
Yeah, I don't think it's the most pleasant of jobs.
No, I give top props. I've got a few friends who have been flight attendants.
Yes.
Both like within my family and then within like friends that are in my age range as well.
Yeah.
And all of it sounds like an incredible amount of responsibility for quite a basic level of training.
Yeah.
That includes hospitality. And I'm like, that sounds absolutely horrifying. Yeah. And I absolutely, props to you.
Yeah.
Do all that at that altitude. My goodness.
But it's easier to pretend, right?
Oh, yeah, that's...
You'll do that.
And that's the thing. We love to pretend.
Yeah.
Pretending makes everything easier.
Yeah, you're full of pretense.
I'm so pretentiously pretending.
I am the great pretender. Now, I'm going to play a little ditty. I say it's a little ditty, but Vadim also comes as Vodim. When Vadim becomes Vodim, Vodim is a rather sort of gothy pop artist.
Mm.
And this is the stuff that actually gets him into trouble. And, you know, he hasn't learned because this track is called I'm Not Sorry. And it comes in quietly. There you go. That's Vodim, who in real life is Vadim.
Vadim.
Vadim Vodim. Vadim Vodim.
How is this spelt, sorry?
Well, Vadim is, God knows, because it would be this Cyrillic alphabet, right?
Of course.
But in the tracks that I've been given, it's a V with an O that has a slash in the middle of it, so whatever that's called.
Yep.
D-I-M, Vodim. Mm. Yes, available on all platforms. And it's from an album whose name I will mention at some later stage.
Perfect.
You know, I nailed that.
That's perfect because we only need it later. We don't need it right now.
We don't need it right now. People have got their pens and papers in front of them. No, bugger that. They can wait.
Absolutely.
All right. So we have an interview that I am now going to play that's with Dr. Eve Rees, and it's about publishing as resistance, and by virtue of some of the things they do and the type of wonderful person that they are, the conversation quite naturally turns, well, let's face it, I aggressively steered it towards queer publishing as resistance, and Eve, being the gracious person they are, obliged me. So here it is, a one and a two and a three and a four and a five.
You're with 3CR, and I'm Madison Moffat, pronouns she and her, and I'm with the wonderful Eve Rees, and in fact, let me correct myself, Dr. Eve Rees, who has, you know, a robust background in all that is research, which is why one of the reasons why we have them with us today. I'll get you to introduce yourself, though, Eve, including your pronouns.
Thanks for having me, Madison. So, yes, my name is Eve Rees. My pronouns are they, them. I'm someone who wears a few different hats. I'm a historian who researches and teaches history at La Trobe University. I co-host a history podcast called Archive Fever. I'm also a trans person and trans writer who published a memoir about my experience called All About Eve a few years ago. And I am the founding editor of a new literary journal called Lantana.
Wonderful. A much better intro. That's why I leave intros to the people themselves. So at the moment, you're involved with a specific book festival.
Yes. So I'm going to be speaking at Footscray West Writers Festival, which is on next weekend, the 27th to the 29th of March. which is a wonderful local festival that ran for the first time last year, and it was such a hit that it's coming back.
Wonderful, wonderful. And you're part of a panel discussing a rather important topic, I believe, with regards to the ongoing development of queer infrastructure. Please describe what that panel is going to be and what you'll be discussing.
Yeah, so the panel, I'm really looking forward to it. It's called Publishing as Resistance. And I'm one of three panelists alongside Kirsty Wilson and Sam Biddle. And our moderator will be Esther Anatolitis, who until late last year was the editor of the literary journal Meanjin. This is such a timely discussion because, as I'm sure many of the listeners will know, the publishing industry has been beset by all sorts of censorship in recent years over the Palestine and other forms of political activism. And generally for queer community, the trans community and other marginalized communities, mainstream publishing has not been a welcoming and inclusive space. So, to talk about publishing as resistance, I think will be a great opportunity to explore the ways a number of grassroots independent platforms are cropping up to resist this censorship, to fight back, and also bring in really radical marginalized voices that help us, make visible different types of lived experience, but also imagine new, more radical futures for ourselves and the world.
Yes. So let's get down to semantics now. Publishing. I think the very nature of media and its many offshoots, more recent offshoots, has made the term publishing a potentially broad term. Is there a specific working definition for that panel?
That's a good question. I mean, as you say, the definition of publishing has kind of expanded dramatically in the age of the internet and social media, and anyone can become their own publisher these days. So the kind of publishing I'm doing at my literary journal, Lantana, is it's an online only magazine. And, that's the beauty of the internet, that it democratizes publishing that used to be controlled by a number of well-resourced mainstream institutions that would gatekeep what could be published and put out in the world.
Yes.
So that's the kind of publishing I'm talking about. Other people on the panel are talking about different types of publishing. For example, one of the speakers, Kirsty Wilson, is a founding member of a group called Readers and Writers Against the Genocide, which I'm also involved in. And they have been publishing conventional material books by writers in Gaza to get the experiences of Palestinians currently experiencing a genocide out into the world. Yes. So I guess we're talking about a mix of kind of legacy publishing and new media publishing. I know Sam Biddle, our other speaker, is also a filmmaker. So yeah, we're kind of exploring the full breadth of what it can mean.
Are you going to be focusing on queer resistance specifically, given your background?
So my journal, Lantana, is not explicitly positioned as a queer and trans journal.
Yes,
but because I am a queer and trans person, that's kind of core to its DNA.
Yes.
So the kind of catchphrase of this journal, Lantana, is words for otherwise. And it's envisaged as a space to publish radical writing that helps us imagine a different, better future. That kind of inevitably includes a lot of queer and trans voices. And one other initiative we're involved in is coming up is a collaboration with the Trans Book Festival, which is coming up in April, again for its second year. And Lantana will be hosting a storytelling event as part of the Trans Book Festival called The Book That Made Me Trans, with a number of trans and gender diverse writers kind of, leaning into this sort of moral panic idea that reading makes us queer or trans, and actually saying, what if it did and if that was a good thing. So Lantana will be hosting those stories, that storytelling event at the Moat beneath the Wheeler Centre in Nam. But then we'll also, the journal will also be publishing a number of those stories soon afterwards. So that will be a really wonderful opportunity to platform a number of more established and more emerging trans and gender diverse writers.
Yeah, it sounds to me like an excellent example of how something doesn't have to be inherently queer before it's very much part of the queer culture. in society.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I guess I'd say also say generally, I have been very concerned with pushing explicitly queer and trans publishing. So one of the things I did a number of years ago was co-edit an anthology called Nothing to Hide, Voices of Trans and Gender Diverse Australia, which I co-edited with Sam Elkin, Bobak Saeed and Alex Gallagher. And it was published by Allen and Unwin. And that was the first kind of mainstream anthology of trans and gender diverse writing on this continent. And we really wanted to, you know, explicitly frame it around trans experience and give our community a chance to talk about whatever they wanted to talk about.
I have a copy. I thoroughly recommend it to our listeners. In fact, we will put a footnote on our podcast page. So we've covered publishing, now resistance. We need to resist, Eve. What's this all about?
The listeners might have noticed there's just a few small things going on in the world.
Just a tad, just a tad.
Yeah, I mean, the concept I've found useful to think about it is that we live in a time of polycrisis. Mm. You know, there's just so much going on. There's rising fascism on this continent and globally. There's the climate crisis and all the flow-on effects. We now have the invasion of Iran and Lebanon and all the flow-on effects in terms of fuel prices and the economy. There's the cost of living crisis and there's the climate crisis.
Yes.
And in this sphere, in this moment of polycrisis and collapse of the kind of existing order as we know it, I think, you know, we need to be resisting across multiple fronts. That's clear. Sometimes that resistance is protest on the street or, you know, other forms of direct action. Hmm. But I'm a big believer that writing and publishing and storytelling is a really core front line to the need for resistance. And
yes.
In this realm, I'm really inspired by a quote by the writer Rebecca Solnit, an American political writer, who says something along the lines of, the change that counts in revolution begins in the imagination, which, you know, is essentially invoking this idea that to fight against the current system, to, you know, resist, to replace the current order with different ways of doing things, different ways of doing politics and economics, we need to imagine them first. And that imagination is the work of artists and storytellers and writers. So that's why I see publishing as a core form of resistance. It's a place where we can publish voices who are helping us imagine different types of worlds and inspire the resistance, the mass resistance we need to make that happen.
So there you go. And you'll be able to hear the full, well, not the full, a differently edited version of that on Trans Creator Radio this Friday. And just sort of thought I'd brag about how clever I am. You see, I did this long interview and I asked certain questions for one show and another set of questions for another show, and now I'm going to edit it all differently, and that means I haven't had to spend as much time entertaining my people. I'm being efficient, don't you know? So, you know, this method has been ISO accredited to 9001 quality standards. This has been a 3CR message. So, now it's time for
meow 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 meow
meow meow meow meow.
Yeah, so it's a very short meow 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 this time.
Just a little
meow 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 meow, because we don't have time to be doing meow 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 for a very long time. So I just want our guests to plug their thing. Go on, you might as well plug it.
Please, please, everyone, come along to Cabin Pressure.
Sure.
At the Comedy Festival.
Yes.
It's going to be a really good time. It is audience participation, but if you do not want to participate, you will be putting an eye mask on your forehead so I know not to engage with you, because I understand that audience participation does make some people want to maybe wet their pants with fright.
Fair enough.
So I want you to feel safe. So if you wear an eye mask, I absolutely will not even look at you. So come along. No. It's on at the Motley Warehouse, 6:15 p.m. A lovely time for you to finish at the office if you do so.
Yeah.
Stroll on over to the Queen Vic Market.
Just
over the road at the Motley Warehouse.
Yes.
You can enjoy yourself a little comedy show.
And when are the dates?
It is opening the tomorrow, the 23rd of March.
Too early.
All the way. Jeez, you've got that right. That is quite soon, isn't it?
It is too soon.
All until the 5th of April. But there is no show on the 1st of April, and that is not an April Fool's joke. That is, and so I can have a dear night off.
Oh, lovely. And what's the times?
The times, 6:15 to 7:15 p.m. A lovely little 50-minute show, but I'm going to say it finishes at 7:15 p.m. just in case there's any, you know, takes a while for people to get in and sit down and all that business.
Yes.
But yeah, it's going to be a great time. Please do come along. It's going to be funny, and it will change night to night. It's a little choose your own adventure kind of style show.
You just want people to buy more tickets and keep coming.
Well, look, if they do want to do that, I want them to be engaged.
That's fantastic. All right, so now we're going to thank you for your little meow, 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 meow,
meow. Meow, meow, meow.
Yes.
Meow.
And now we're going to have DJ T-Boy let us know what we've been listening to.
Hey there, you're listening to Clearing the Air.
Oh.
Coming to you live and direct.
That's
on
direct.
8:55 a.m.
Yeah.
Or
wow.
Live streaming, man.
Wow.
That's cool. On 3cr.org.au /streaming.
Streaming, man.
Or
other
you
meaningless
can hear
injections.
It on demand, man.
Man.
That's just wild.
That is wild.
Or not.
Or not.
It's
man.
All cool,
I'll do it, man.
It's what? All good.
Look, why would you do that, man? It's just passive aggressive, man.
God, man.
Oh, my God, it's a chicken. We'll be back next week. This is Joan Armour training with I Love It When You Call Me Names. Thank you very much for your time, Sonny.
Thank you very much, Madison.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye-bye.